外昆塔之音服务员与聆听，尊敬的奉献者们，今天是2020年6月27号，星期六。我们非常荣幸的邀请到亲爱的萨提亚·德瓦帕布为我们讲述今天的圣典博加瓦坛的早课。感谢大家的聆听 ，Hare Krishna。
Hare Krishna, good morning to all the devotees in China.
Hare Krishna, 中国的奉献者们，大家早上好啊。
Happy Saturday to you.
祝大家星期六快乐。
Today we'll resume our discussion on Canto 8, Chapter 6, no, Canto 6, Chapter 3, Verse 31.
我们今天继续来开始圣典博加瓦坛第六篇第三章第三十一诗节的讲课。
Yeah, last week we didn't actually read a new verse. We just remembered the previous verse, and we answered a lot of questions that were left over from the previous class.
上个星期的课我们没有讲新的诗节，而是回忆了复习了之前的诗节，然后并且回答完，然后上上周剩下的许多问题。
Yeah, so there are just a few verses left in this chapter. I think there's 34 verses, so we'll discuss verse 31 today.
然后这一章的话呢还只剩下几个诗节了，然后应该是总共有34个诗节，而今天讲的就是第31个诗节。
But before that, I'll chant Jayaradamadava as usual.
然后在正式开始之前我先来唱 Jayaradamadava。
Okay.Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balava Giri Vanadari Gopi Jana Balava Girivanadandi Yasuranandana Rajajanaranjana Yasuranandana Rajajanaranjana Yamunatira Vanachari Yamunatira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balava Giri Vanadari Gopi Jana Balava Giri Vanadari Yasoda Mandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Rajana Yamunati Ravanachari Yamunati Ravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Prabhupada Nitai Gaur Premananda Hari Bol. So, up until this point in the story, Yamaraj has been talking to the Yamadutas.
故事进展到目前这个地方，阎罗王一直在和他的使者，他的Yamaduta们在说话。
And he explained to the Yamadutas how really the chanting of the holy name is the essence of all religion.
然后他在向亚玛都他们解释到为什么圣名的念诵为什么会是整个所有宗教的精髓然后核心之所在。
And that the holy name is non-different than the spiritual world itself.
圣名和灵性世界是完全没有差别的。
And anyone who chants the holy name, even if not, perfectly or fully consciously, is freed from all sinful reactions.
任何一个人，即便没有完美的念诵圣名，即便没有完全的觉知到圣名的来念诵圣名的话，都会从所有罪恶活动的业报中解脱出来。
And is also considered a Vaishnava or a devotee of the Lord.
并且这样的一个人也会被认为是一位 Vaishnava. Fumaji, can you hear me?
Yeah, yes.
Strange. My screen shows connecting now. 并且这样的一个人的话也会被认为是一位 Vaishnava, 或者是主的奉献者。
And devotees of the Lord,Anyone who's chanting the holy name of the Lord is, even once, is not in the jurisdiction of Yamaraj. That this person cannot be arrested and brought to hell to be punished.
而任何而主的奉献者，任何哪怕念诵一次圣名的人，都并不属于阎罗王的管辖范围之内，然后是不会被带到地狱受到惩罚的。
And he warned his followers, don't ever approach a devotee.
并且阎罗王还警告他的追随者们，就永远都不要去靠近一位奉献者。
And because the Yamadutas, with Yamaraj's permission, did arrest Ajamil, that was a great offense.
而由于亚玛都他们因为在阎罗王的允许之下，确实是逮捕了阿加米勒，因此的话呢，这是他们犯下的巨大的冒犯。
If you make an offense to a devotee, you're also offending the Lord.
如果我们对奉献者做出了冒犯，那么也就是对主做出了冒犯。
So Yamaraj, being the ideal leader and the most responsible person, he took responsibility for the offense.That his messengers made by arresting Ajamil.
而阎罗王作为一位理想的领导者，并且作为一个最有责任感的人，他就为他的命令执行官们，由于逮捕了阿加米勒所犯下的这个冒犯而承担起了责任。
So he apologized to the Lord and also to Ajamil for offending him.
因此阎罗王就向主并且向阿加米勒道歉道歉请求他们的原谅他对阿加米勒做出的冒犯。
And he said he was sorry for doing that.
他向他们说他很抱歉很对不起做了这样的事情。
And then he admitted his mistake.
他承认了他的错误。
And then he begged for forgiveness from Ajamil and also from the Lord.
然后他恳求能够得到主，得到阿加米勒的原谅。
So he showed us the what to do if if we have the misfortune of offending a Vaishnava.
因此如果我们要是不幸的冒犯了一位 Vaishnava, 那么阎罗王在这里所展示出来的就是在告诉我们该如何去做出弥补。
So he shows by example how to make amends and how to correct one's mistake if one offends a Vaishnava.
所以说阎罗王以身作则的来向我们展示出，如果冒犯了 Vaishnava 的话，那么我们如何做出补偿，如何来纠正自己的错误。
And now in the next verse 31 through 34, Sukadeva Goswami is going to summarize the teachings of this chapter.
然后在今天这个31诗节一直到34诗节都是 Sukadeva Goswami 在总结整个这一章的这样一个精髓，这样一个主题。
So we have to remember that Sukadeva Goswami is telling this story to Maharaj Prakrit.
我们要记住的是，这个阿加米勒的这个故事呢，是 Sukadeva Goswami 在向 Maharaj Prakrit 然后所讲述的这样一个故事。
Because previously in the fifth canto, Sukadeva Goswami described the hellish planets to Prakrit Maharaj.
因为在之前就是第五篇瓦坛之中 ，Sukadeva Goswami 就向 Prakrit Maharaj 描述了地狱星球的状况。
And he described all the various punishments in hell for all the different types of sinful activities that one might commit.
然后他就描述了就是针对人所犯下的各种各样的罪恶性活动所遭受的业报的话，然后这些业报在这些不同的星球上是如何就是被施行的。
And Prakrit Maharaj is very compassionate to the fallen souls, so he was wondering, how can these sinful souls avoid going to hell? Is there any how can they be saved?
而帕尔克希特王是非常同情怜悯那些堕落的灵魂的，所以他就想知道到底一个人该怎样避免被送到地狱星球，该怎样得到拯救呢？
So it's in response to that question by Prakrit Maharaj that Sukadeva Goswami has told the story of Ajamila.
因此为了回答 Sukadeva 为了回答帕尔克希特王所他的这样一个问题， Sukadeva Goswami 就讲述了这个关于阿加米勒的故事。
So let's keep the bigger picture in mind as we hear the last verses of this chapter.
因此我们在阅读接下来的这几个诗节的时候，就一起来都同时想到整个这个故事更大的一个画面，更大的一个状况是怎样的。
Okay, text 31.
好，我们一起来看31诗节。
And this is chapter 3, canto 6.
第六篇第三章第31诗节。
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Tasmat Sankirtana Vishnor Jagan Mangalam Ham Hasam Mahatam Api Kurava Vidyai Kantika Nishkritam Tasmat
因此
Sankirtanam
集体吟诵圣名
Vishnu,
主 Vishnu 的
Jagat Mangalam,
在这物质世界中最吉祥的活动
Ham Hasam,
对罪恶活动
Mahatam Api,
甚至非常大的
Kuravya,
骷髅家族的后裔啊。
Vidi,
了解。
Aikantika,
最终的。
Nishkritam,
赎罪。
Translation, Sukadeva Goswami continued, My dear king, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is able to uproot even the reactions of the greatest sins. Therefore, the chanting of the Sangirtan movement is the most auspicious activity in the entire universe. Please try to understand this so that others will take it seriously.
译文 Sukadeva Goswami 继续说道，亲爱的君王，吟诵吟唱至尊主的圣名，甚至能使人根除最大的恶报。因此，这歌唱神的圣名运动是整个宇宙中最吉祥的活动。请努力了解这一点，以使其他人都能认真对待。I continue with purport.
Yes, please.
Okay, 要旨。我们应该注意，阿加米勒虽然喊出 Narayana 的名字时是在叫他儿子，但却从所有的恶报中被拯救出来。吟诵吟唱圣名的活动是如此吉祥，以致他可以去除每一个人的恶报。然而人不该就此以为人可以继续有意犯罪，同时用吟诵吟唱 Hare Krishna 的方式抵消恶报。相反，人应该十分小心，根本不要犯罪，永远都不要想靠吟诵吟唱 Hare Krishna 曼陀去中和罪恶活动，因为这是另一种对圣名的冒犯。如果奉献者偶然从事了某种罪恶活动，至尊主是会原谅他的，但永远都不该有意作恶。要旨结束。 End of report.
Thank you very much. Om Aganata Mirandasha Gananjana Salakaya Tatsu Unmilitam Yena Tasmain Shri Guru Venma Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshu Tarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanta Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubheva Cha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. May all living beings be happy.
愿所有的生命体都快乐。
May all living beings be free of suffering.
愿所有的生命体都不再受苦。
And may all living beings awaken and discover their true self and their relationship with Lord Krishna.
愿所有的生命体都得以觉醒，觉醒到他们真正的自我以及和主 Krishna 之间的关系。
So here in this verse, Sukadeva Goswami is summarizing the teaching in this chapter and the, really the whole story of Ajamil.
所以在今天的这个时节中 ,Sukadeva Goswami 就是在总结了整个这一章的教导，总结了整个这一章的教导，并且也总结了阿加米勒的故事。
Yeah, we have at the very end of this verse, these two words,Aikantiki Nishkritam.
在这个世界最后有两个词，叫最后一排叫做 Aikantika Nishkritam.
Yeah, which means the ultimate atonement.
而这两个词的意思就是指最终的赎罪。
So an atonement is a solution, you know, to a mistake one has made.
而赎罪指的就是针对一个人所犯下的错误，他所采取的解决方法。
So normally in the Kamakanda portion of the Vedas, there is a kind of prescription that if you perform a sinful activity, then you have to counteract that sinful activity by doing something good.
然后在普遍情况下我们都知道，在韦达经的一部分 Kamakanda 就是业报部分的话呢，然后就谈到了如果一个人要是犯下了罪恶活动的话，那么他可以做哪些好事，哪些善事来抵消自己犯下的这个罪恶行径。
Yeah, or at least you have to be punished and pay the price for your sinful activity.
或者是就是谈到就是至少你应该受到惩罚，然后为你所做出的事情付出代价。
Like if you steal money, you know, from people, say some sort of financial scheme, right, where you get people to invest money in some, you know, some venture, and instead of, you know, creating a company and doing some venture, you just take all the money and run away.
就比如说，如果你从别人那里偷走了一些钱，这个投资方案，对，投资方案，然后的话，你说，哎，有这样的一个东西，一个产品或者一种服务或者一家公司，然后如果大家投钱的话呢，来成立起来就会得到相应的多少多少回报，而最终的话呢，比如说你要承诺的这个事情，这家公司并没有开起来，而是把钱都全部卷走了。Yeah,
so that kind of fraudulent activity is against the law.
因此这样的这种欺骗的行为的话呢，是违法的。And
if you're caught, you'll have to atone for your sin.
而如果要是你被抓住的话，就必须要为自己犯下的罪行赎罪。So
not only will you have to go to jail for some time.
所以说不仅是要在监狱里待一段时间。
But you may also have to pay back the money to all the people that you stole money from.
并且还很有可能你需要将那些骗走的钱的话呢，再还给那些受害者。
Yeah, so the punishment may not only be jail time, but also, you know, you have to pay some fee, some money. You have to pay some money as well.
因此的话，你所遭受的惩罚就不仅是得在，就是要服刑，然后并且的话呢，还会在经济上进行赔偿。Or
if you get a traffic ticket, you might not have to go to jail, but you have to pay some money.
或者是要是一个人在开车的时候，就是被开了罚单，然后触犯了这个交通法，那么可能不会去坐牢，但是的话却也不得不去，就是去进行一些这种赎罪的行为，比如说交罚单。Or
if you get too many traffic tickets, they may suspend your license, or you might also have to go to jail and pay some money.
而如果要是一个人这个触犯的交通法律要是太频繁太多的话，那么开的罚单太多的话，很有可能警察就会吊销执照，或者是把你给抓进去坐一段时间的牢。Yeah,
so there's also the universal laws, and if we break those, then we have to go to hell, and we have to be punished and atone for our sin.
因此同样的，这个宇宙也是有法律规定的。如果我们要是这个破坏了、违背了宇宙的法律，那么也必然会被带到地狱，然后在那里接受惩罚，进行赎罪。Yeah,
so this the last two words of this verse relate to the question that Parikshit Maharaj originally asked Sukadeva Swami.
所以说这个师节当中刚才提到的最后两个字，就和帕尔克希特王在对苏卡德瓦 Goswami 最初提到的那个问题是相关联的。Because
his question was that even if a person, a sinful person, goes to hell and has to atone for his sin, even then, even after, you know, he's been punished, he still has the tendency to commit sins, and he'll just commit sins again in another life. So what's the point?
What's the point? 而最开始苏卡德帕尔克希特王所问到的问题就是一个很罪恶的人，他被抓到地狱去，然后他在那里去由于他的罪行而做出赎罪。 但即便是他就是受到了惩罚，但是的话呢，他仍然有这种想要继续去做出罪恶行径的倾向。那么在下一世，他还是会再去作恶。那么这 这个在地狱里受惩罚又有什么意义呢？
So as long as the soul is conditioned by ignorance, the tendency to commit sin is still going to be there.
因此只要一个个体灵魂还受到无知愚昧的影响，那么他想要继续做出罪恶活动的倾向就会依然存在。
So the point is that the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is the ultimate atonement, because not only does it free one from sinful reactions, but it also frees one from the ignorance that causes one to sin in the first place.
而因此要点就在于一个人去念诵就吟诵吟唱至尊主的圣名，这就是最终的赎罪方式。因为吟诵圣名不仅能使一个人从所有的罪恶活动的业报中解脱出来，并且的话呢也会使得这个人从最初导致他去犯罪的愚昧无知的这种属性中解脱出来。
So in the beginning of the verse, Sukadeva Goswami says, "My dear King, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is able to uproot even the reactions of the greatest sins."
因此在这个诗节的最开始， Sukadeva Goswami 就说到，亲爱的君王，吟诵吟唱至尊主的圣名，甚至能使人根除最大的恶报。
Yeah, so if you cut the grass, the roots are still in the ground, so it may look very nice right after you cut the grass, but in a couple of weeks, especially if it rains, then the grass just grows back.
所以如果你要是把地上的杂草给弄掉的话，你除草，最开始看上去那个地面是很漂亮的，但是过几周之后要是再加上下雨，那这个野草由于你没有根除它，所以它又会再次的长起来。
Yeah, so real freedom from sinful reaction means that you're freed from the desire to commit sin.
因此从罪恶活动的反应中解脱出来的真正的自由，是指一个人不再有这种想要去做出罪恶行径的欲望了。
So that's the first point that Sukadeva Goswami makes. He says that the chanting of the holy name is so powerful that it uproots even the tendency, you know, towards sinful reaction.
所以说 Sukadeva Goswami 所谈到的第一个点，那就是吟诵吟唱至尊主的圣名是如此的厉害，以至于可以使得一个人根除他想要去进行罪恶活动的这个倾向。
And then he says, because of that, because the holy name is so powerful that it uproots the tendency to sin, it is the most auspicious activity in the entire universe.
然后 Sukadeva Goswami 又继续说道，由于圣名是如此的强大，能够使得一个人根除想要去做出罪恶活动的这种倾向，因此的话，这歌唱神的圣名运动是整个宇宙中最吉祥的活动。
And then he says to Pricket, "I want you to understand this so that other people will also take it seriously, because this is the main issue."
然后他接下来说到，然后他接下来继续对帕尔克西特王说道，请你努力理解明白这一点，以使其他人都能认真对待，因为这是最主要的问题。
Yeah, and so the life of Ajahn Mill demonstrates the power of the holy name and why it's so auspicious for everyone.
因此阿加米勒的人生就展示出了圣名的力量，并且展示出why it's
auspicious
for
beneficial for everyone.
并且展示出为什么 吟诵吟上至尊主的圣名，对于每个人来说都是如此的吉祥。
Because Ajamil, he chanted the holy name, but he chanted it imperfectly. Yet, he was delivered from sinful reaction.
因为阿加米勒他确实是念出了圣名，然而他却是不完美的这种方式念出了圣名。然而的话，他仍然是从这个就是被拯救了。
Yeah, so he spiritually was awakened. Especially once the Vishnu Dutas appeared.
而当 Vishnu Dutta 出现在他面前的时候，然后阿加米勒就在灵性上就觉醒了。
Yeah, then he could understand that he had been a very sinful person.
然后他才明白，他一直以来都是一个罪恶滔天的人。
And he chose not to live a life of ignorance anymore.
然后他就做出选择，不愿再继续活在充满各种罪恶活动的生活人生之中。
Yeah, so that awakening is, you know, also the result of chanting.
而这样的一种觉醒，也是念诵圣名所带来的结果。
So even though he hadn't perfectly chanted the holy name, it awoke in him.Enough consciousness to understand that he was sinful and not to continue that way of life.
因此即便阿加米勒他当时念出神的圣名是一种很不完美的方式念出来的，然后但是的话呢，这也足够在他的内在唤醒足够的这个知觉，以使得他明白他自己一直的这个生活是非常的罪恶的，然后他也决定再也不想继续下去这样的人生了。
Yeah, so one of the results of freedom from sin is the desire not to continue to sin.
所以说从罪恶活动中解脱出来的结果之一，那就是不再有这种想去继续作恶的欲望。
That's how you know the process is working.
而这就知道，而通过这一点，你就能明白，哦，这个休息方式是确实有效用的。
So Prabhupada in the purport he cautions us.
而帕帕又在要旨中警告我们。
He said, one should not conclude that one may continue to sin.With the intention of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra to neutralize the reactions.
帕帕写道，然而人不该就此以为人可以继续有意的犯罪，同时用吟诵吟唱 Hare Krishna 的方式来抵消恶报。
Now, just imagine if we didn't have this purport.
大家想象一下，要是我们没有这个要旨的话，会是怎样的呢？
And we just heard from someone, you know, briefly about the story of Ajamil.
我们刚刚的听到有一个Sukadeva Goswami 他简短的这个总结了阿加米勒的这个故事。
But we didn't hear the complete story.
然而的话，我们却并没有听到这个完整的故事。
We just heard that Ajamil is a very sinful person.
我这里纠正一下，并不是说苏卡德瓦古苏瓦米他所讲到，而是就听任何一个人谈到讲了这个阿加米勒的故事。然而的话呢，我们听到的故事并不完整，而只是听到阿加米勒因为念诵神的圣名，然后就被拯救了。
At the end of his life, he chanted the name Narayan by mistake. He was just calling out the name of his son.
然后在他人生最后的那一刻，他只是因为为了喊出他儿子的名字而喊出了主 Narayana 的名字而已。
But because he chanted the name Narayan, he was freed from his sins and he didn't have to go to hell.
而由于他就是喊出了主 Narayana 的圣名，他就从罪恶活动的业报中解脱出来，就不用去地狱了。
Yeah, so then we may think, because we don't know the whole story, that, oh, I can do any sinful thing I want, and if I just chant Hare Krishna, I won't have to pay the price for my sins.
然后而我们没有听到这个整个故事，然后就只是听到这一块，然后就觉得哦，那我可以继续作恶呀，然后我只需要唱诵念诵 Hare Krishna 曼陀，然后就不用为自己做错的坏事而付出任何代价了。
But Prabhupada cautions us that don't think like that.
而帕帕在邀集里就警告我们，就不要这样，不要这样去想。
Rather, we should be very careful to be free of all sins and never think of counteracting sinful activities by chanting Hare Krishna.
而帕帕说，相反，我们应该非常谨慎、小心，然后根本不要去犯罪，而并且永远都不要想。通过靠吟诵吟唱 Hare Krishna 曼陀去抵消综合我们做出的罪恶活动。
And because that's the seventh offense in chanting.
因为这是我们可能对圣灵做出的第七项冒犯。
Yeah, so the reason that the chanting of the holy name was effective for Ajamil was because he wasn't intentionallytrying to avoid the results of his sinful activities by chanting. He just innocently chanted the name of the Lord.
而之所以阿扎米勒的这个对 神的圣名的念诵，就是他喊出来主的圣名是起作用的，是有效的，这原因就在于他当时并不是有意的去试图喊出神的圣名来避免遭受罪恶活动的结果，而它只是一种很天真的这样喊出神的圣名而已。
Yeah, so that kind of chanting is not considered offensive.
而这种类型的念诵是不被认为是具有冒犯性的。
Even though it was not perfect.
即便这样的念诵并不完美。
And then Prabhupada goes on to say, if by chance a devotee accidentally performs sinful activities, the Lord will excuse him, but one should not intentionally perform sinful acts.
然后帕帕就继续的写道，如果奉献者是偶然从事了某种罪恶活动，那么至尊主是会原谅他的，但永远都不该有意作恶。
So,the way we understand this is that as long as we're in the material world and we're still influenced very much with identification with our mind and our body, there's always going to there's always a chance of falling down.
Always chance.To falling down. 所以说我们可以以这样的一种方式来理解这一点，那就是只要我们还在这个物质世界，只要我们还非常处在心意和身体的这种影响之下，那么我们总是会有可能会堕落的。
Yeah, so, you know, in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, you know, there's three levels of devotees. The neophyte devotee, which we call the Kanishtha Adhikari.
Kanishtha. 那么在 Krishna 知觉中有三种层面的奉献者。第一种是这种新人的初级奉献者，被叫做 Kanishtha Adhikari.
And then we have the Madhyama Adhikari, or the middle position.
然后就是中级奉献者，也就是 Madhya Adhikari.
And then we have the Uttama Adhikari, one who's very advanced.
然后就是 Uttama, right, Kumarji?
Uttama, yes.
Uttama, 然后就是 Uttama Adhikari, 这个就是高阶的奉献者。
So sometimes the first level, the, what is it?
Kanishtha.
Kanishtha Adhikari. Sometimes the Kanishtha Adhikari is called the Prakrita Bhakta.
Prakrita Bhakta, right?
Mm-hmm.
有时候初级奉献者又被称为 Prakrita
Bhakta.
Bhakta.
So Prakrita means material.
Prakrita 的意思就是物质的意思。
Yeah, so they began the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, but they're very much still in material consciousness.
所以说这一类的奉献者，他们开始了这个修行，开始了念诵神的圣名，但是的话，他们还依然非常的处在物质的知觉之中。
Yeah, so the soul is completely identified with the mind and the body.
所以说灵魂还是完全认同于心意和身体的。
So basically, the false ego is running the show.
也就是说，他们的假我还是处在这个掌控的地位。
Yeah, so there's always chance of a fall down for this level of devotee.
因此对于这一层面的奉献者来说，就总是会有可能会堕落的。
Yeah, because the habits within the mind and the body from the past are very strong.
因为在他们的心意和身体中的曾经的那些习性还仍然是非常强大的。So
Prabhupada says, you know, we should accept this transcendental process of Krishna consciousness.
所以Prabhupada说我们应该接受Krishna知觉的这一超然的修习过程。
Which is to accept the regulative principles.
也就是去接受规范原则,
and try to become free of sinful life.
并且努力地去从罪恶生活中解脱出来。
But because we cannot see Krishna or understand Krishna at this level,
但是由于我们还无法在这一层面上去看到 Krishna, 去明白理解 Krishna,
and because we don't even know our own self.
而由于我们连自己的真正的自我都不明白是怎么一回事儿。
Yeah, then the tendencies of towards sinful activities are still there.
因此，对于罪恶活动的倾向就仍然存在。
Yeah, so if we're not very careful to avoid the sinful life, which means illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling, then we can easily fall back into those tendencies.
因此，如果我们没有非常谨慎小心的去避免那些罪恶活动，也就是非法性行为、吃肉以及赌博和这个服用麻醉品，那么这四项。 我们就会很容易的再次回到曾经的这种罪恶的生活之中。So
the material world is, you know, it's called Maya or the illusory energy.
物质世界被称为 Maya, 也就是虚幻的物质能量的意思。And
under that influence of Maya, we forget who we are in our relationship with God.
在玛雅的影响之下，我们忘记了自己是谁，忘记了我们和Krishna之间的关系。So
it's an awkward circumstance for us.
因此，这对于我们来说是一个很尴尬的境地。Sometimes
Prabhupada compares it to a war where we're declaring war on the illusory energy.
有时候，帕帕会把我们这样的一种状况比作为是。 开启了一场战争，我们就是在对玛雅，对这个虚幻的物质能量，就开启了一场战斗，然后去要打赢它，要去战胜它。It's
actually quite a brave thing, a very courageous thing, to want to awaken in Krishna consciousness and go against the flow of Maya.
实际上想要在 Krishna 知觉中觉醒，想要和 Maya 作战，这是一件非常勇敢、非常有勇气的事情。So,
the Lord promises to protect us.
主承诺要保护我们。And
so, even if we fall down because we're overwhelmed, you know, by our past habits.
而即便是我们由于被过往的习性给弄得 措手不及而导致自而导致自己堕落了。
That doesn't mean we're lost forever.
这并不意味着我们就会永远的迷失。
So Prabhupada writes, although a neophyte devotee may fall down from the path of Krishna consciousness due to his immaturity.
因此帕帕就写道，如果一位奉献者由于他的不成熟 而偏离了 Krishna 知觉的道路，然后在这个 Krishna 知觉道路中堕落的话，
His service to Krishna never goes in vain.
但他对 Krishna 所做出的服务是永远不会是这种就是、说是白做的。
And Krishna will arrange his life in such a way that he will again remember to come back to Krishna, and he will also arrange his life in such a way to frustrate that devotee so that he can't enjoy, he sees that he really can't enjoy in the illusion.
To frustrate that devotee, to see that he cannot enjoy in that illusion. OK. 所以说的话呢 ,Krishna 就会以这样的方式来安排我们的人生，使得我们能够再次的回忆起，要再次的记住，再次的回忆起想要回归 Krishna。或者他会以这样的方式来安排一位奉献者的生活，使得这个奉献者受挫无比，使得他无法，使得他明白自己无法在无法能够在他的这种幻觉之中去真正的去享受他想要的那种幻觉。
Right. Just like Maharaj Bharata when he fell down.
就正像Maharaj Bharata 他堕落的时候。
Yes, even though he was a very advanced devotee, he stopped following, he gave up his sadhana to take care of a deer.
即便
Bharat,
即便 Bharat Maharaj, 他是一位非常进步的奉献者，但是的话，他却放弃了自己的这个 sadhana, 放弃了他的休息。转而去照顾一头鹿。
Yeah, he was living in the forest and living a very regulated life, getting up early, chanting his rounds, and avoiding contact with Maya.
然后Bharat Maharaj 他当时就居住在森林里，当时他所过的人生是一种非常有节制有规律的人生，他会很早早起，然后去念诵他的圈数，然后避免和玛雅的接触。
But then it's a long story, but he started to take care of a baby deer because the baby's deer mother had died.
然后长话短说，这个故事有点长，那就是他开始去照顾一头小鹿，因为这个小鹿的妈妈去世了，死去了。
Yeah, so babies, you know, they're very attractive and they also take a lot of time.
而小孩子小婴儿的话呢是非常有吸引力的，只不过就是会占据我们太多的时间。
Yeah, so, you know, Bharat Maharaj, he didn't consciously give up his sadhana. It happened very gradually.
而 Bharat Maharaj 并不是说他并不是有觉知的有意识的去放弃他的这个休息的，而整个这个过程是一种逐渐发生的过程。
But gradually, you know, his consciousness, instead of his consciousness had turned inward, so he was conscious of himself as a pure awareness.
Sorry, Maharaj. Guruman, you were saying Bharat Maharaj?
Yeah, Bharat Maharaj, you know, during his sadhana, his consciousness was directed within himself, and he was and he was aware of his true self and his relationship with Krishna.
True self. This happened before he met the baby deer, right?
Right.
然后就在 Bharat Maharaj 在他遇到那头小鹿之前，他的知觉都是往内走的，也就是知觉导向他的内在，他是能觉知到他的真正的自我以及他和 Krishna 之间的关系的。
Yeah, because sadhana is all about, you know, normally our consciousness is externally directed, and we are, you know, lost in thinking and lost in our imaginary self.
就正常情况下，大多数情况下，我们的知觉都是往外的，然后我们都完全是迷失在思考之中，迷失在这个想象出来的自我之中。
But when you perform sadhana, you bring your attention to the present.
然而当你开始进行 sadhana, 你就把你的注意力放到了当下此刻。
And consciousness is turned back towards itself.
此时知觉就被再次的转向于它自身了。
And you're able to observe the mind and the body.
知觉就能够去观察心意和身体。
And you realize you're not the mind and the body.
然后你就会觉悟到你不是你的心意，不是你的身体。
And that becomes your moment-to-moment conscious experience.
而这就成为你从这一刻到下一刻时时刻刻的知觉状态。
And you avoid contact with Maya and becoming too externalized.
并且你也去避免了和玛雅的接触，也就意味着你的知觉并不是完全导向外界的。
Yeah, because as long as you're in the material world, it's, you know, if you fell into Maya once, you can fall into Maya again.
因为如果你曾经要是在堕落。如果曾经你要是在玛雅中堕落过的话，那么你也会再次堕落的。
Yeah, so advanced devotees, they're very conscious of Maya's power and they're careful in their sadhana.
因此进步的奉献者是非常能够觉知到玛雅的力量的，所以他们在自己的 sadhana 休息中是非常小心谨慎的。
But then, Bharat Maharaj, he had to take care of the deer, so his consciousness became externalized again.
而 Bharat Maharaj 由于他要去照顾一头小鹿，所以他的知觉又变得再次的是往外导向的。
And he wasn't spending any time in meditation.
那他就没有把时间花在他的冥想上。
And he was just taking care of the deer 24 hours a day.
而是一天24小时的都在照顾那头小鹿。
And he died like that.
然后他就以这样的一种知觉状态然后去世了。
But in his next life, he was born as a deer.
然后在他的下一世他就拥有了一个鹿的身体。
But by the mercy of Krishna, he could remember his previous life and the mistake he made.
而由于 Krishna 的仁慈他在这个鹿的身体里就能回忆起他在前世犯下的错误。
So he was a deer in the forest, but he associated with great sages his whole life as a deer.
所以说即便Bharat Maharaj 他拥有了这样一头鹿的身体，然后但是的话呢，他整个一生都是在和伟大的圣人们联谊。
Then in his next life, he was born as Jada Bharat.
Jada Bharat.
Yes.
然后在下一世他就作为 Jada Bharat 而出生。
And he was a great realized soul.
而 Jada Bharat 是一位非常伟大的觉悟的灵魂。
Yeah, so although he fell down, he was never unprotected by Krishna.
所以说 Bharat Maharaj 虽然他是堕落了，但是的话他从来都没有失去过对 Krishna给予他的保护。
But, you know, we should always be careful.
但是的话我们总是应该非常小心的。
So the nectar of instruction tells us what to avoid if we want to not fall down.
而这个教诲的甘露就写到，如果我们想要避免堕落的话，就应该去如果我们想要不去堕落的话，那应该避免什么样的事物呢？
This is a verse 2 of the Nectar of Instruction.
就是教诲的甘露当中的第二诗节里面就写到了。
Atyahara Priyashascha Prajapo Niyamagraha Janastangas Chaloyamcha Sabir Bhaktir Vinashati. So, this is Rupa Goswami's first instruction.
所以这就是 Rupa Goswami 给我们的第一条训示。
So the devotee should not eat too much.
他就说到奉献者不应该吃得过多。
And shouldn't collect too much or be a hoarder.
然后也不应该成为一个这个收藏家，也就是说不断的收藏，不断的去对这个堆积事物。
And one should not over endeavor for material things.
并且人不应该为了物质的这种事情而过度的努力。
Right. It doesn't mean we shouldn't have a job and maintain ourselves.
但这并不意味着我们就不应该就干脆不上班了，然后就不用维系自己了，并不是这个意思。
Or it doesn't mean that we shouldn't be expert in our profession.
这也并不意味着我们在自己干的这个职业当中就不用成为，就不用达到一个很一个不错的一个境界，不用达到这种专家式的这种技能技艺。
It just means our priority in life should be self-realization, and we should dedicate enough time and energy towards that.
而这意味着是我们人生当中的头等大事是自我觉悟，我们应该把足够的时间和精力投入在自我觉悟之中。
And so we should follow some, self-control and follow some rules and regulations.
因此我们应该有一些自我控制，我们应该去遵循一些规则、一些要求、一些规范制度。
But we should know why we're doing what we're doing. We shouldn't be blind followers.
但我们应该知道我们为什么要去做一件事情，或者为什么不去做一件事情，要知道这背后的原因，而不是一种盲从。
Yeah, so we shouldn't be so fanatical about rules and regulations, but that doesn't mean we should neglect the rules and regulations either.
所以说我们不应该很狂热的要去遵循某个规矩、某个这个原则，但也不应该就是去忽略、忽视规矩和原则。
Yeah, so we don't have to invent more than what Prabhupada has already given us.
所以说我们不用去创造怕就是这个不用创造更多了，就怕给我们的已经足够了，就不用去创造的更多了。
At initiation, we vow to chant 16 rounds a day and follow the four regulated principles and avoid the 10 offenses.
在启迪的时候，我们都做出承诺，要每天念诵16圈，并且遵循四项规范原则，并且尽力避免十项冒犯。
We don't have to add anything beyond that.
所以说就不需要再在这上面再添加更多的事物了。
Of course, we can accept other rules and regulations that are favorable, but according to our lifestyle and our phase of life, we have to be flexible.
当然我们可以去接受一些有助于我们的灵性休息的一些事情、一些规矩、一些规则要求，但是的话我们也要根据自己的生活方式，根据我们所处的人生阶段来灵活的应对，灵活的这个应对和开展自己的灵性生活。
And then finally he says Janasangha, we should avoid materialistic people or materialistic vibration.
然后卢帕戈苏阿米最后就写到，我们应该去避免这种物质上的涟漪，避免接触到物质上的震动。
Yeah, so nowadays people aren't associating personally so much, but they're associating online, right?
在现在这段时间的话呢，大家好像都没有这种面对面的跟别人交流很多，但都是在网上和别人交流。
Right, so online you can associate with sadhus or you can associate with asadhu.
所以说在网上的话呢，你可以跟圣人们联谊，但也可以跟非圣人们联谊。
And because we're tiny, we're easily influenced.
由于我们非常的渺小，因此我们很容易受到影响。
So we have to utilize our free will properly.
因此我们应该恰当的运用自由意志。
And so if we're careful, we can avoid falling down, or if we do fall down, then we can get right back up and keep going.
Right back up and keep going. 所以说我们应该非常小心谨慎，避免自己堕落。而如果我们要是确实堕落的话，那么我们也可以立刻的爬起来，然后再次的回到自己在走的路。
Okay, so we have a couple of questions from last week.
Yeah. 好，我们来看上个星期剩下的两个问题。
So just let me summarize. Chanting is the ultimate atonement.
好，在此之前，我先来总结一下今天的这个诗节。今天的这个诗节就说到，念诵神的圣名是最终的赎罪。
For two reasons.
而这当中包含有两个原因。
By the mercy of the Lord, we're forgiven our sins.
We are what our sins?
We are forgiven for our sins.
由于主的仁慈，我们就获得了原谅。我们在自己所犯下的罪行中就获得了原谅。
And then we are enlightened from within. The ignorance is.Causing us to want to sin is gradually removed.
然后渐渐的我们的内在的话呢又会获得开悟，也就是说导致我们最初去进行罪恶活动的愚昧无知的影响逐渐的就被移除掉了。
Yeah, so this leads to the, you know, to liberation and going back to the spiritual world.
而这就会引领着我们走向解脱。回归灵性家园。
So the chanting of the holy name is the most auspicious activity in the whole universe.
因此吟诵吟唱神的圣名是整个宇宙中最吉祥的活动。
So we should take it very seriously.
因此我们应该非常严肃认真的对待念诵。
And if we do fall down or make a mistake, Krishna will protect us.As long as we're sincere and not do it again.
Not do it again. 而如果我们要是确实堕落了，要真的是犯下了一个错误，那么 Krishna 都会保护我们的。只要我们一直都是非常真诚，然后只要我们再也不会去重蹈覆辙的犯下同样的错误。
Otherwise, Krishna may decide, well, I think this person hasn't suffered enough.
如果不是这样的情况。Okay, 如果不是这样的话，如果我们还不够真诚，如果我们还是可能会重蹈覆辙的话，那可能 Krishna 就会觉得，就会想，他还受的罪受的不够多，他还想再多受一点罪。
And then after they suffer enough, I'll give them another chance, and they'll be more likely to take advantage of it.
然后在他们受罪受的足够多之后。那我再给他们一次机会，然后这一次的话，他们应该就可以能够更加更好的去利用好我给他们的这个机会了。
Okay, so we have a couple of questions left from last week, right?
Yeah, two questions left.
Okay.
Okay, 我们来看上个星期剩下的两个问题。第一个问题是 Charu Chitra Mataji 问。 顶拜恭恭敬敬的顶拜古鲁，感恩您的讲解，感恩马拉吉的翻译。嗯，谢谢马拉吉。我的问题是如何做到说话悦人益人，避免以虚假身份为背景赞扬别人。谢谢您，您卑微的仆人 Charuchitra Mataji。David Dasi。Charuchitra Mataji here is offering her businesses onto you and she's grateful for your lecture. Her question is how to say words that are pleasing and beneficial to others, and how to avoid please other people on the level of material ego, material identity. Thank you.
Thank you for your question, Charuchitra, who I believe is in Dongbei. Right.
Yes, 谢谢东北的 Charuchitra Mataji.
Yeah, so, you know, how to apply the austerity of speech that Krishna recommends.
所以说您问到的就是我们如何去运用 Krishna 所讲到的这个言语的苦行，如何把言语的苦行实际的运用在生活之中。
Yeah, because in the 17th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that those who are serious about awakening spiritually, they follow three types of austerity.
因为在第薄伽梵歌的第十七章 ，Krishna 就说到那些严肃认真的想要灵性觉醒的人，会遵循三种类型的苦行。
Austerity of the body.
一个就是身体的苦行
，austerity of the of speech。
第二个就是言语的苦行
，and austerity of the mind。
要接着就是心意的苦行了。
So in other words, they learn to master their mind and their senses。
换言之，那就是这样的人在努力的学习着，想要去能够去成为心意的主人，成为the master of the mind and
senses，
以及感官的主人。
So everything, you know, mastering the body, the mind, mastering our body, our speech, and our mind.require higher consciousness.
而要想能够去成为心意、躯体和言语的主人，就意味着我们要有更高的知觉。
Right, we have to consider what we say before we say it.
也就是说我们在开口说话之前，首先要考虑一下自己想说什么。
Yeah, so that takes some ability to.Separate yourself from the mind and be able to watch it.
而这就需要我们有一定的能力，能够把自己和心意分离开来，能够得以去观察心意。
Yeah, so this control over one's mind and body develops as one becomes introspective in one's sadhana.
One's introspective, in one's sadhana.
Yeah, when we practice sadhana, we develop the power of introspection.
I see. 而这种对心意、对躯体的控制，对成为心意和感官的主人，就意味着我们在自己的 sadhana 修行中，能够发展出往内观的这样一种能力。
And we develop really three qualities.
我们就发展出了三种品质。
Or actually, it's three skills.
准确的来说，应该是三种技能。
We're able to concentrate. We can focus our attention where we want to, instead of just being dragged here and there.
第一种能力就是我们能够得以去把注意力专注于某个事物，而不是说就完全这个注意力就被带着跑，就是看到什么听到什么，然后立刻知觉就被带跑了。
And then we also develop clarity.
第二个技能就是我们能够发展出清晰度。
or insight.
或者叫做洞见。
We can see the thoughts in our mind and the urges, you know, in our body.
而这种洞见还可以叫洞察力哈，也就是说我们能够看到脑袋里的念头，并且能够看到身体里出现的一种冲动。
Yeah, so then we start to see, oh, I'm not the mind and the body. I just don't have to follow, you know, any thought or any belief or any urge.
我们就能开始看到自己并不是那个念头，并不是那种感觉，而我们就有力量能够不去被这个念头抓着走，然后不去被这个出现的一种固有的信念抓着走，然后不会被这种冲动欲动给抓着走。
Yeah, so this clear seeing of one's thoughts and feelings leads to equanimity.
而这种能够清晰的看到念头、看到感受的能力，就会使得我们获得发展出平等的态度。
So equanimity is stressed all throughout the Gita by Krishna.
而 Krishna 在整本薄伽梵歌中都一直在强调平等的重要性。
Yeah, so a thought arises.
一个念头升起来。
Or a feeling arises.
或者是一种感受升了起来。
Like anger or sadness or lust.
就比如说愤怒。悲伤或者是色欲。
And we accept it. Oh, there's anger, there's sadness, there's lust.
我们去接受，有这个愤怒出现了，有这个悲伤出现了，有色欲出现了。
We're not for it or against it, but we admit it, there it is.
而我们不是去支持这些感受，也不是去反对这些感受，而只是去承认有这些感受出现。
That's equanimity.
而这就是平等。
Or acceptance.
或者叫做接纳。
And we don't act on it, but we recognize it.
我们不会去依据这些愤怒、悲伤、色欲而采取任何的行动、行为，而我们只是去承认他们的存在。
Yeah, so I mention this because it's only from higher consciousness that we can control our speech.
我之所以提到这一点，是因为只有基于更高的知觉，我们才能够得以去控制自己的言辞。
Otherwise, most of us speak just the way our parents spoke.
否则的话呢，我们大多数说出来的话语和方式和我们父母所说出来的话和这个他们说话的方式是没有太大区别的。
Yeah, because from the time we're in the womb until we're about 7 or 8, we're simply copying the behavior of our parents and people around us.
因为从我们在子宫里出现，然后一直到长到七八岁为止，在这一段人生时期中，我们只不过是在复制，对，叫做复制父母的言行，然后或者是复制我们当时那个成长环境当中其他人的言行而已。
Sometimes, you know, when I used to discipline my children, afterwards, or even while I was disciplining them,I heard the voice of my mother in my head. I was saying the exact same things that she used to say to me.
然后 Guru 就说，他想起就是曾经他在教训他的孩子的时候，就是他在要规范他的孩子，要给孩子们设立规矩的时候，有时候或者在之后，他就会一下想起来，实际上他在教训他孩子的时候，他妈妈的那些。他妈妈给他说的那些话，就是他当时那一刻，在他去规范教养孩子的时候，他说的那些话都是一模一样的。
So, if we are engaged in Krishna consciousness and following our sadhana, then gradually we're developing some mastery over our mind and our senses so that we can improve our speech.
Improve our speech. 就是如果我们进行着 Krishna 知觉的休息，遵循着我们的 sadhana， 那么渐渐的我们就能够得以去控制我们的心意和感官，那么这样的话我们就能得以去控制我们的言辞了。
And then, therefore we can begin to apply Krishna's instruction about speech into our life.
那么这样的话我们才能够把 Krishna 关于言语的训示能够实际的运用在生活之中。
Yeah, so Charuchitra's question is in relationship to this instruction by Krishna that's in chapter 17, verse 15.
Verse 15. 其实说 Charuchitra Malaji 所问的这个问题的话呢，和 Krishna 在《博迦梵歌》第17章15诗节是相关联的。
And Krishna says austerity of speech consists of speaking words that are truthful, pleasing, beneficial, and not agitating to others, and also in regularly reciting Vedic literature.
所以17.15译文，言语的苦行包括说话真诚，悦人宜人，益人，不使别人感到不安，经常诵读伟达圣典。
Yeah, so normally a lot of us have a tendency to lie.
很多时候我们都有这种这种撒谎的倾向。
But we can overcome that tendency by being very sincere to tell the truth to ourselves and to others.
而我们可以通过真诚的向自己说出真话，或者叫说出真相，或者向别人说出真话或是真相，来克服这种撒谎的倾向。
Yeah, so we shouldn't exaggerate things.
因此我们不应该去故意的，不应该去夸大事实。
Right, and we shouldn't artificially, praise ourselves or praise others.
我们也不应该刻意的去表扬自己或者表扬别人。
But we should, when we honestly appreciate, then we should say so.
而我们确实很诚实的对某人升起欣赏之情的时候，我们自然可以很自然的表达出对这个人的欣赏之情。
So we should speak in a pleasing tone.
我们说话的这种语调应该是悦人的。
Right, and we should speak beneficially.
并且我们说出来的话是对别人有助益的。
And we should speak in a way that doesn't agitate others.
并且我们说话的方式、措辞是不应该会激怒别人或者是刺激到别人的。
Yeah, so this is, we may practice our whole life to improve our speech.
我们甚至有可能会把整个一生都用在训练自己的言辞上。
Yeah, so we have to think, and consider before we speak.
因此真的是要这个叫做说话之前的话呢，真的要思考一下，考虑一下，然后再脱口。而出你的话语。
Yeah, so I think this acronym that I like that I've said before in classes, I'll say it again. It's very helpful.
Okay, Guruji, continue.
Yeah, think before you speak.
Yes, I just translate. You can say the acronym.
Okay, so the acronym is think.
所以说我在之前的课堂上都分享了有这样的一个英文的首字母这个缩略词，这个英文的首字母缩略词每一个这个字母的话呢就代表一个含义，确实可能在这里的话呢会给大家有更多的这个帮助。
Yeah, so before you speak something, consider these five things.
所以说在我们开口说话之前，首先要考虑到这个缩略词所代表的五个事物。
Key, is it true?
所以说这个也就是这个缩略词就是 think 就是思考，而 think 这个词的第一个字 t 代表的就是真实，就是第一个这个规则就是你说的话是不是真话。
H is it helpful？
而第二个字母 H 代表的就是帮助，那就是你说的话对别人有没有帮助。
I is it inspirational or you know encouraging？
然后第三个字母 I 代表的就是灵感或者是鼓舞。那就是说你说的话能不能带给别人鼓舞，能不能鼓励别人去做一些更多更好的事情。
And N, is it necessary? This is very important, I think.
然后第四个字母这个 N 代表的就是必要，所以也就是说你给别人说的这句话有没有必要。
Yeah, do you really need to say it? Is it really, you know, is it that important?
你真的需要去跟别人说那句话吗？你要说的这句话真的是那么重要吗？
And then K, is it kind?
然后最后这个 K 代表的就是人善，就是对人善的意思，那就是说你对别人说的话到底有没有善心。
And so I will just add on that our, you know, we should practice non-violent communication.
所以我们应该培养非暴力沟通。
Right. So that we speak objectively but not critically.
We speak objectively?
Yeah, but not critically.
所以说我们很客观的去表述自己，而不是很批评的这种去说话。
Yeah, without blaming.
在我们说话的时候不带自己。不带指责的去说话。
Without belittling somebody.
不是说要去轻视着某人这样的一种方式来说话。
Without arrogance.
没有任何这种叫做骄傲的态度来说话。
Right, we say things as we see them, objectively.
我们说出来的话语是一种客观的表述自己看到的事物的方式来说话。
And we can express how we feel without blaming somebody for how we feel.
并且我们客观地表达出自己的感受，而不会是去在批评别人、指责别人，是导致我们有这样的感受。
And we also express humbly what we'd like, what we want.
并且我们非常谦卑地表达出我们想要什么，我们需要什么。
Yeah, we shouldn't think that other people are mind readers and should know what we want. Sometimes we have to honestly express, you know, what we want and how we think and how we feel.
所以我们不应该去期望着别人就是都完全是成了我们的这个肚子里的蛔虫。然后也就是说我们都不用去说，对方就明白我们想要什么，明白我们 的感受，并不是这么一回事儿。而很多时候我们需要诚实的去表达出自己的感受是什么，自己的想法是什么，然后自己的需求是什么，诚实的表达出来。
And when someone is speaking to us, we should carefully listen to what they're saying and not be thinking about what we want to say.
并且当某人在跟我们说话的时候，我们应该非常仔细的聆听对方在说的话，而不是脑海里完全是在想着我要接下来说什么。
And we should be eager to understand them.
并且我们应该很热切的想要去了解另一个人。
That means we want to know how they think.
而这就意味着我们想要知道这些人是怎样思考的，他们是怎么想的。
And we want to know how they feel.
我们想要去知道他们是怎样感受的。
And we want to know what they want.
我们想知道他们想要什么。
It's not about agreeing with each other, it's about understanding each other.
所以说这一切都是关于这并不是关于同意彼此，而是关于理解彼此。
So can you read Charuchitra's question one more time to me? I think I'm missing one piece.
Oh, okay. So she's asking that how to say pleasing words and pleasant and beneficial words, and how to please others, how to avoid praising others on the level of false identity.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, we just... We have to speak consciously and not from our false ego.
Okay. 所以说您提到的第二个问题就是如何避免以虚假身份为背景来赞扬别人。然后 Guru 就回答到，那就是我们必须要有觉知的说话，而不是这种基于假我来说话。
So that means, you know, moment to moment, we have to be very conscious of what our mind.Is doing.
而这就意味着我们要从这一刻到下一刻，时时刻刻的都能觉知到自己的心意里在发生着什么，能够觉知到心意，对，觉知到自己的心意。
And notice, become aware of our conditioned tendencies.
并且能够注意到，能够去觉知到我们受物质世界制约的倾向习性。
And then we can transition from just our conditioned way of being to a new and improved, you know, we can upgrade our software.
然后的话呢，我们才能够得以去升级自己的软件，也就是说我们能够从这种曾经受物质制约的这种习性的方式，然后进步到更新的改进了的这种和他人的交流的方式。
Right, more humble, more tolerant, more respectful, and less dependent upon praise from others.
也就意味着我们更加谦卑，更加容忍，然后对他人有更多的敬意，然后并且不再那么去依赖于别人的这种赞美和肯定。
Okay, thank you for your question.And thank you for your patience listening to my long answer.
非常感谢您的问题，也非常感谢您这么耐心来聆听我这么长的一段回答。Okay, go right to the next one.
Yeah.
好，我们来看下一个问题。这位叫 Hare Krishna 的奉献者问道：“请问怎么解释潜意识？” So this devotee is asking that how to understand what is subconsciousness.
Oh, well, kind of just like the word, we have lots of thoughts and tendencies that are going on, but we're not conscious of them.
所以潜意识的话呢，就这个顾名思义就可以，我们就可以知道有很多的这个念头，很多的倾向是潜在的在发生着的，而我们甚至都没有觉知到这些念头，这些倾向在发生。
Yeah, sometimes we're behaving in a way that everyone else can see except for us.
而有时的话呢，我们的一种行为方式就是周围的人都看得清清楚楚，明明白白的，但是我们自己就完全视而不见，根本不知道原来自己是以这样的一种方式来行事。
Like we may be irritated or angry.
就比如说我们可能会受到别人的刺激啊，然后很生气啊。
But our false ego doesn't want to show that.
但是我们的假我并不想表现出自己很生气。
Because, you know, due to our cultural conditioning, it may not be appropriate, right? So we're supposed to hide it, and the false ego knows that.
因为我们所受到的文化的影响就是认为愤怒是不应该被表现出来的，然后于是的话我们的假我很明白这一点，就试图努力的去掩盖自己的愤怒。
Yeah, so we're angry, but we're smiling.
所以说就是这种内心很愤怒，然后脸上还带着微笑。
Everyone can see and feel our anger, but we can't because the false ego is hiding it.
而周围的人的话呢，都能够看得出来，这个是一种假装出来的微笑，然后都能感受到我们是很生气的。但是的话呢，由于假我把我们的愤怒给藏起来了，所以说我们根本看不到自己在生气。
Yeah, so a lot of our habitual ways of thinking and feeling and behaving or they're kind of on, going on automatically or subconsciously because we're not aware of it.
因此我们许多这些思考、感受和行为的习性模式都是在自动的或者叫潜意识的发生着，而我们完全都没有觉知到这些习性、这些模式在发生、在进行。
So the more we practice effective sadhana, then the more introspective, you know, our power of introspection increases. So that which was previously going on subconsciously, now we begin to become conscious of, and then we can change.
因此如果我们能够越多的进行有效的 sadhana, 那么我们这种往内看或者叫内观的能力就会逐渐增加，那么这就意味着当初都是潜在在发生着的思考、感受和行为，那么现在我们都能开始去觉知到这些潜在的在我们毫不察觉的、毫不察觉的情况下在发生着的思考、感受和行为在上演，那么由此的话我们就能够去改变这些模式、这些习性了。
Yeah, that's what it means to be a conditioned soul.
而这就是为什么我们被称为受物质制约的灵魂的意思。
Yeah, the consciousness is totally absorbed in the identification with the mind and the body and just following the conditions of the mind and the body, whatever programs are there.
就是说而受物质制约的灵魂的意思，也就是说我们的知觉完全沉浸在心意和身体的认同之中，反正这个心意和身体当中有什么样的模式、什么样的习性，我们就只是一味的跟随，一味的去跟随，而完全没有觉知到这些在发生。
Yeah, so those programs, like I said, you know, we downloaded from our parents.
而我们这些习性模式，我们所受到的这些程序都是我们从父母那里下载下来的。
Yeah, so we not only got the genetic karma of our parents and our ancestors in our body.
因此我们不仅从父母、从祖先那里获得了身体上的这种基因上的业报。
We also got the software from our parents.
并且我们从父母那里也得到了这种软件上的这种遗传。
And when we're just thinking and we don't know that we're thinking,
当我们只是在思考，但是都没有觉知到自己在思考的时候，
those programs are just running. Subconsciously.
那么我们从父母那里下载下来的这些软件程序就完全都是在潜意识层面上，在这种我们毫无察觉的层面上反着。
It's only when we awaken in the present and we choose to live in the present that we have enough light of consciousness to become aware of what was previously subconscious.
而只有当我们在当下足够觉醒，只有当我们选择活在当下此刻的时候，我们才会有足够的知觉之光来觉知到曾经那些在我们毫未察觉的潜意识的层面上在运作着的那些事物、那些模式。
Yeah, so that's what it means to be a human being, actually.
而这就是作为人类的本意之所在。
A human being can live in the present and become conscious and observe one's thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. And once one can observe them, one can change them.
而这就是人类的含义了。人类是可以活在当下此刻，是能够在当下此刻有觉知，能够去观察这一刻冒出来的念头、感受和行为，并且在由于可以观察，所以就能做出改变，而这就是人类的定义。
Yeah, so through the power of introspection, we become self-realized and and we become better human beings.
因此通过内观的力量，我们就能获得自我觉悟，我们也就能成为更好的人。
Yeah. So, subconscious just means those conditioned ways of thinking, feeling, and behaving that are going on below the surface of consciousness.
Below the surface of consciousness. 因此，潜意识就意味着我们受物质制约的思考、感受和行为的模式方式，而这些思考、感受、行为的方式都是在知觉的表层之下来发生着，在发生着的。
All right, thank you. That was thank you for your question.
非常感谢这位奉献者的问题。
So I guess we'll end the class today.
所以说讲课就到这里结束了。
And today we thank Lila Manjari for hosting it, right?
今天要感谢 Lila Manjari Mataji 的这个主持了。
And always we thank Narayani for translating.
Thank you so much for the service.
And I thank you all for listening. This is pre-recorded, so if you hear this class and you have any questions, please send them in and we'll answer them next week.
这一次的讲课是提前录制的，因此如果大家有问题的话呢，请您发上来，然后我们会在下一次讲课中来一一回答，谢谢。
So Hare Krishna to you and have a good week.
Hare Krishna, 祝大家好，有个愉快的周末。
All glory to Prabhupada and all glory to Srimad Bhagavatam.
所有的荣耀都归于帕帕，所有的荣耀都归于圣典博迦瓦坛。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. 我爱昆塔之音，服务源于聆听。今天的讲课到此结束。Hare Krishna, 愿大家有美好的知觉的一天。